The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fifth day of February. Wow, this year is moving so quickly already. 2023. Tonight, the title of the message is A Counterfeit World and the Counterfeit Word. A Counterfeit World and the Counterfeit Word. And tonight we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. The other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears, hear! Let him hear! And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They look on the rock, and are they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which is for a while believe, and in time of temptations fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, here the NIV hath taken away, as it says here in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh, and the devil had taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The New International Version, folks, which next to the King James by far is the most read Bible, actually the real Bible. But here, the next to that is the NIV. And the NIV has removed 64,576 words that you will find in the King James Bible. They're gone. In verse 10, we read this. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Well, people say, well, wait a minute here, Pastor. Doesn't the Bible teach that it's not God's will that any come short of the glory? No, absolutely, it does. But in this situation, what he's talking about, Jesus knew that they would reject, these people would reject his word. And so he knew, and he spake in parables because he knew it would be more merciful for them if they didn't really understand the word that they rejected. And so if they did understand it completely and still rejected, their punishment would be even greater. And so this is why he said what he said. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries in the kingdoms of God, but in others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And so these people were again unbelievers, and they weren't going to hear it with a good and honest heart. And so God did the more merciful thing for them. Now, from the very, very moment of our birth here today in this world that we're living in, we're thrown into an ocean of false circumstances. Those of us that are biblically literate know all too well the dangers of being unprepared to navigate the waters of truth versus the crooked path of what we call today woke, the woke movement or the politically correct movement. Even as preschool children are subjected to indoctrination into the abominable, and I mean a really abominable world of the LGBTQ and pedophilia, often by means of esoteric messages that unsuspecting parents are oblivious to. This is often accomplished by cartoons and children's stories. And when I remember this, I remember as when my son was a little fellow, this Lion King came out. And so I was watching it, so far so good. But then it came to a point where you had this warthog and this other little critter. I forget what they call them.
Meerkat.
Yeah, a bear cat. Yeah. Well, anyhow.
Meerkat.
All right. Thanks there. I'm getting some help from my studious producer here. But here it was very, very clear that they were showing in an esoteric way that these two were having a sodomite relationship. And it wasn't anything openly sexual, but the connotation was really clear. And when I saw it right away, I found out as I started speaking it that I wasn't the only one that noticed that so clearly. And so the government-run so-called education system has been taken over by globalistic communists. These people believe that the state and not the parents should decide the future of our children. Since 1962, when a very, very, very corrupt court expelled God from our public education system and replaced him with cultural Marxism, America has gone from number one, I remember very clear, we were number one scholastically then, to we're 40-something today. I think it's 46 in the world today as far as being scholastically. So, again, we have a very, very, very counterfeit education, and it's really indoctrination, folks. The so-called mainstream media is nothing more than a confederacy of six major corporations which are in lockstep with the globalist elite. There are no longer journalists that report the news, but talking heads that spin the lies and the echo chambers and then call it the narrative. Fair and balanced. They are not, Brett Baer. They are not. The AMA, the FDA, the CDC are no longer in any respect considered to be legitimate government agencies. They are now simply the whores and the property of Big Pharma and the Department of Defense. The FBI, the CIA, and the NSA are no longer legitimate intelligence agencies, but are simply branches of the globalistic communist collective. They have all been weaponized against patriotic, true Christian America. Today, most professing Christians are not possessing of salvation Christians at all. Most churches are really 501c3 corporations. Most pastors are really hirelings. And today there are over 200 counterfeit versions of the Bible. And we're going to get, that's our story tonight. We're going to take a look at those counterfeit versions versus the Word of God. And tonight we're going to start in 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, here, this verse here, I believe, excuse me, is the clearest verse in the Bible declaring that Jesus was God. I'm going to have to take a little sip of my lemon water here because this is the third time I'm teaching this today. And so the old voice can only hold up so long. And so here, when we read this, let me read again this verse. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. Now these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, I recently preached an entire message just on that verse there. Here, what happens is the context is stressing the officers and activities of the local church to greater meaning and concerns. The church consisting of all true Christians of every nation and every time as a whole. And so here he's talking about the church, the house of God. And he goes on and he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Now, that is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ and only the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, let me say that here. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest. Now, the NIV says that he appeared in the flesh. He appeared in the flesh. So today when I was preaching this in the church, I said, how many he's do we have? If you're a he out there, raise your hand. And all the men raised their hands. I said, how many of you have ever appeared anywhere in the flesh? And they all had appeared somewhere in the flesh. They had appeared right there in the morning church in the flesh. Okay? But that's what the NIV wrote. But here, he's talking about specifically. So what does this verse do? Here, on this verse tries to deny, it perverts the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what they've done with the NIV, the nearly inspired version. I want to go to Philippians chapter 2, for example. And in Philippians chapter 2, we read, and I'll get there in a minute. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Well, let me read verse 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, he's dealing with a deity. Now, we see here that God, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all equal in their deity. Now, there's definitely a pecking order. God the Father, from Genesis to Revelation, God the Father gives the marching orders. God the Son carries him out. And the Holy Ghost provides the power. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, we see that being done. Now, here, he's making a point that... Now, and let me just say this, too, because God made us in his image, in his likeness, in his image. The Trinity, the Father, Son, is a triune. God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. People, we're triune beings. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. Again, the family of God, if you will, has Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With us, it's, the husband is the head of the house, and the parents are the head of their children. Okay? And so, here we see that. Now, so we see in our humanity, the husband, the wife, and the children are all equal. They're all equal in their humanity. Now, not in the order of reverence, and that is the husband is the head. The wife is to be obedient to the husband, and the children obedient to their parents. Now here, he makes it very clear. Let me read that again. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was equal in his deity. Now, here's what the NIV writes. Did not consider equality with God something to be used. What in the world, folks? One of the other versions says the word means to be considered to be his own, to be his own advantage, okay? And what is that? That is not what the Word of God teaches, so... In fact, if we go over to what that word does, it perverts, again, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we go over to Luke chapter 2, in Luke chapter 2, and I wanted to read here. Luke 2, I wanted to read verses 33 and, well, let me do this. I'll read 32 and 33. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother, Joseph and his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of by him. Now here, again, it's referring to Joseph and his mother. It's not referring to Joseph as his father, because Joseph was not the father. He might have said stepdad, but Jesus was the only begotten son, the only begotten son of God. And so here, as we look, in fact, if we just go right over here to verse 49 and 50, we read this. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me, wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake. Well, he wasn't saying that he needed to be about the business of Joseph, okay, being a carpenter. What he was saying, he was about to be about his father God's business. Even at the age of 12, Jesus started to understand his identity and purpose, folks. And so here, what this does, if you listen to it now, and pay close attention to what they say, the NIV reads, his father and his mother, his father and his mother, bless them. And he says, and his father and his mother marveled. No, Joseph was not his father. And so what does this do? Well, it actually perverts the virgin birth. And you see, these are things that you need to be very, very careful. The Bible says, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, when it comes to something as important as the Word of God, folks, you need to be very, very, very precise and understanding. And so here, I want to go over to, for an example, Colossians chapter 1. And as we take a look at this, how in so many ways the New Age versions have perverted the Word of God. And as we go through this, we'll see this. And not just the NIV. We'll see that the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, the New ASV, the New RSV, and others. And here we read in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, and who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me read that again. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. Well, here the NIV reads, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. They've removed the blood. They've taken out the blood. The New Living Translation says, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. They removed the blood. Now, I want to take you, in fact, over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 9, in Hebrews chapter 9, well, that's not Hebrews chapter 9. Where'd I go here? Boy, am I off. It's been a long day, folks. Bear with me. It's been a long day. Now I'm in Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, I want to read here, starting with verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God enjoined unto you. Moreover, the sprinkling with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves better sacrifices than these. And so now, here, without shedding the blood, today, many of the liberal theologians, and liberal theologians are people that are not saved. If they were saved, they would not be liberal theologians. And a growing number of what we call neo-evangelicals, the new evangelicals, argue that references to the shedding of blood are merely metaphorical, that the essential point being that a sacrificial death has occurred. Thus, they say it was Christ's death for our sins that was the redemption price, for our salvation, not his blood. Which, after all, here's what the New Agers are referring to about Christ's blood. After all, his blood was just fluid. It was just a fluid. No different after being shed than before. Well, the fact is, however, that there are many, many ways in which a man or a sacrificial animal may die, but a mere death is not enough. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. And without the shedding of blood is no remission, so no other type of death could purchase our salvation. Therefore, we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. He made peace through the blood, Colossians 1:20. He washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelations 1:5. And we are now justified through faith in his blood, Romans 3:25. And so, folks, again, the New Age versions, they remove the blood. They remove the blood of Christ. Now, I wanted to go over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now, many of you know this verse. It's John 3:16 is probably the best-known verse in the entire Bible. And let's go over there for a minute and see what they've done to that verse, because they haven't left anything alone. And by the way, one thing all of these New Age purveyors of the Bible, perverters of the Bible, have in common, all of them that I've ever met, is they're all in a confederacy, all united against the King James Bible. Did you get that? And they don't war against each other's perversions of Scripture, but all of them, every one that I've ever seen, they're all against the King James Bible. Now, that should tell you something, folks, very clearly. I want to go over here to Luke chapter 2 and in verse 33. And Joseph... No, wait a minute. That's not where I was. Oh, I'm in the wrong... I told you it's been a long day. How did I flip that back? Let me go over to John chapter 3. Okay. Must have had my finger in there. Here in John 3, verse 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, folks, again, let me read that again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the NIV and the NLT both read one and only Son. Not the only begotten Son, but one and only Son. Now, folks, I hate to tell you, but that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, all of us that are born again are the sons of God. All of us that are born again. But the only begotten means the only one that didn't have a human father. That the Father was God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. And so here, in fact, let me take you over to John chapter 1 here. And in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, that word sons there, actually the word is children, the children of God, because it's not just male, it's female too. It's, you know, both male and female, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now, here, let me read that again. But as many that received him, to them gave the power. That word power means the right. Gave him the right. The right. That means the authority. And again, to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Okay? And so here, that includes, you know, men and women. Now, the Democrats have, well, they have different definitions of what could be a woman. In fact, just recently, one of those trans things that became supposedly became a woman was transferred from a male prison to a a woman's prison, female. We know what women are here, you know, a woman's prison, and he was there till he raped three of the women. And see, once he raped three women, they put him back in the male prison. Well, you see, I could have told him that he was not a woman at all. I could have told him right from the very beginning, see. But, you know, we have a kind of an insane system with the Democrats in office. The Democrats are in many aspects, many ways, criminally insane. I hate to say it, but they are. They're totally void, morally bankrupt. They don't know right from wrong, good, up from down, left from right. They're the Democratic Party today has become totally and completely morally bankrupt. Now, here, so he makes it very, very clear that all of us that believe, we're the sons of God. So what the NIV and the ASV and what they've said is not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. Well, I want to go over now to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And here, I actually want to start reading from verse 33. And when the people, and when this people, or the prophet, or priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And it's for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the Lord and the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the love of the Lord of hosts, our God. Let me read that again. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt they say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, and by the way, what he's referring to, oracle or prophecy, when he's referring to the oracle or the prophecy, the word of God. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you and will forsake you and the city, and I will give you and your fathers and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Well, here they twisted the word of God to making them say something other than the plain meaning. And today, well, I'm going to tell you, folks, today, you know, I thought Joel Osteen was bad enough when it came to the prosperity preaching. Live the good life now. Jesus said, place up your crowns in heaven. Joel Osteen says, nope, get them now, get them right now. T.D. Jakes says, I want my stuff now. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven. Jesus said, howl, wail, you rich men. It's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven. Well, these prosperity preachers, they preach another gospel. They preach that God wants you all to be materially wealthy. That, in fact, Kenneth Copeland actually held up the Bible and said, you can take the Bible and make God produce all these material things. In other words, you can extort God, folks. Here, what you just read is God will forget and forsake and bring an everlasting and perpetual shame on those that pervert the word of God. Prosperity preachers, beware. Prosperity, and you also, you apostate preachers out there. I heard some of them recently making a statement, like Al Sharpton, for example, that God endorses abortion. That's a lie told by a liar. That is a horrible lie told by a horrible liar. And so I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of uncorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now here, what is he saying? He's saying it's all revealed, and it's all activated through the incorruptible, eternal word of God. He's telling you there, God's word endureth forever. And so you have, it's referred to as an everlasting gospel. It's revealed here through the King James Bible, and it's activated. When they change the meaning of words, like they've done, and take out, I'm going to tell you, they're going to have to account for that. If we go over, in fact, to Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, verses 16 through 18, we read this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. Now here, he says, but I say, have they not heard? Well, here, in Isaiah 51, for example, verse 3 says, glad tidings to all that believe, even though most will refuse to believe. Most will refuse. Verse 17 here says, what it says is, when he says here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, It's what God has spoken, what God has plainly said. And then in verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out of all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. All the creation, what he's telling you here, to all the earth and the ends of the world, all of creation is the witness of a creator. Now, God is a totally just God. And God, he's most merciful. And so many times people have said to me, well, Pastor, how do you justify, what about these people that live way out in these jungles, deep jungles, and many have never even seen a white man or whatever. They've never heard the gospel. They've never heard a preacher. Is God going to condemn them to hell? No, because God is most merciful. And I just read to you, all of nature, all of creation bears witness to the Creator. Those people, God speaks to them and their hearts by looking around, looking at the forest, looking at the sky, looking at the mountains, looking at all these things. And then when they look at each other, they wonder, why do we look the way we do? Why do we walk upright? Why do we have two arms and two legs? Why do we look the way we do? Well, then we understand that God had made us in his image. God has made us look that way. We're in the image of the Lord. And so, here, when we go to Matthew chapter 24, we find out that God's Word, the Bible, there's nothing as durable as the Word of God. You see, God's Word, even though heaven and earth will pass, the Word of God will never, ever pass away. And as we go to Matthew chapter 24, and we start in verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Well, those of us that have been around for a long time, we were there when this took place, when the fig tree, when the branch was yet tender and putteth forth its leaves. He's referring to when Israel became a nation in 1948, and some of us were already here when that happened. And listen to what he says. So likewise, when you shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Well, he's talking about all of the signs of the coming of man, and we are seeing them, folks. I mean, we've been watching the unsealing of the book spoken of in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. When Daniel was told to seal up the book, well, we've been watching incrementally the unsealing of that book. And we will see the final unsealing take place in Revelation 22. Now, here, he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, here, what he's talking about, heaven and earth pass away, is the decay law established by the primeval curse on the ground because of sin back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And so, here now, again, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, the Word of God is the most sure thing that in existence, right here. Let me tell you, the enemy hates this. Oh, how they hate the Word of God. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. This here to them is a threat. Why does it have to be, they feel? Why do we have to have the Word of God is filled with absolutes? And it's the absolute truth. And the mainstream media cannot deal with truth. They just cannot deal with truth. And so let's go to Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, this is an interesting thing. Just one verse, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, what is he talking about? The eternal origin and eternal, direction of God's word. Well, how about the eternal duration, of the word of God? Here, now this is an interesting thing too, because if you count up the verses, this verse right here, the 89th verse of Psalm 119, it begins the second half of Psalm 119, if you count up the verses. Now, with that, I want to go over to Revelation 22. And this is a passage that's very familiar to all of you. And in Revelation chapter 22, we read, starting with verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth. Now the Spirit's the Holy Spirit, the Bride is us, the church. Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is the final invitation, folks. Every night after a radio program, we give an invitation. And this is the final invitation in the Bible. Let me read it to you now. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, you had some pretty horrific plagues written about in this book. And so, you had boils and you had frogs and you had blood, the water turned to blood, you had flies, I mean, you had hemorrhoids, you had, I mean, some pretty horrific plagues put on the people. And if any man should take away from the words of this book, this is even a harsher, a stronger verse here. If any man should take away the words of this book and this prophecy, God, you'll take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which were written in this book. I remember some years ago, there was John Ankerberg had a radio or TV program. And you had five men on there, five pastors, theologians, three of them represented the New Age versions, the ASV, the NIV. Two of them represented the King James Bible. And so, of course, it was set up that they were going to be outnumbered. And, of course, John Ankerberg was in favor of the New Age versions. Well, what happened? Right there, live on that radio program. We're back, folks. We're back. We had some technical difficulties, but I wanted to take you over, and since we kind of already gave an invitation tonight there in Revelation, to Acts chapter 8, where we left off, and verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, and mayest... And he that answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and they were baptized. Now, here, this verse, folks, has been completely removed. The entire verse has been removed from the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, and the New RSV. So, just to let you know, you really need to know the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's the authorized Word of God. And the most sure thing that ever existed, the only thing that will never pass away, was sealed and kept in heaven, as we read over in Psalms 89, is the Word of God. And the Word of God is very clear. This is what you need to do. If you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't wait till it's too late. Don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. God given you the opportunity. The Lord Jesus took your place upon that cross so you could avoid the burning lake of fire. Don't wait till it's too late. Call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And when you do that, you've got God's word on it that you would be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and you would become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be on the road to immortality. Now, you've got God's word. You have God's word on that. There is nothing as sure as God's word. We didn't get to finish this message tonight, but maybe this week we can. So as we say every night at this time, as we get here, to good night and God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.